Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Beers and Movies podcast. This is Eduardo, as always. I have my good friend, Memo. How are you doing, Memo?
What's up, guys? How's it going? This is Memo. It's good to be back, dude.
Good to be back recording. I mean, we were gone for, what was it, 3 months?
Around 3 months. Something, of course, that we were not expecting on stopping so quickly after 9 episodes. But, of course, we were kind of forced to do it. We didn't want to risk it.
For obvious reasons, right? Of course, COVID-19, all of its misery that it's bringing, but you know,
for sure, misery is the right word. So I guess it's we could call it season 2. I guess since we took a long break, so I guess it's safe to say to season call it two. Season 2.
But we're back, and
what you been up to? Quick update on how's it been going the last couple of weeks, couple of months.
Just good, you know, playing guitar, you know, watching movies, catching up on a lot of movies I had watch listed. But I have to congratulate you because you got engaged.
I did.
During this break, so congratulations.
I did get engaged over this, it's been like a little bit over a week, on 2 weeks that I got engaged and finished the semester in school, and that's pretty much about it. I'm still working.
Yeah, so congrats to you and, of course, Ana Karen, which I know very well, right? So wish you all the best, and...
Quick fun fact that you introduced me to.
I introduced you both, right?
Yeah, exactly right.
And so, when I found out that you guys got engaged, I told you I better get a fucking shout out at the wedding. That's the minimum.
Yeah, guys, don't use any of those dating websites. Just call Eduardo. He'll hook you up for sure.
I mean, the sad part is I can't find the one myself. But let's get into it.
So what do we got today? We got Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems, which came out in 2019, right?
Exactly.
It's by the Safdie brothers. They co-directed the movie, mm-hmm. which they also made Good Time. Remember I told you about
that? Yeah, Good Time.
It's a very similar movie. Very like stressful, you know.
I wanted to say that this is a movie that, for example, that it's not your normal cast. Like,
yeah,
we got the three main people on the movie are, of course, Adam Sandler,
Kevin Garnett,
and Julia Fox.
Right.
You want to tell us a bit about Julia Fox?
Oh man, Julia Fox, what's there to say? You just
look her up on Instagram.
If you haven't seen the movie, look her up on Instagram, Julia
Fox. You're gonna want to look her up after you see the movie.
Just watch this movie. But I mean, it's not a regular like Adam Sandler typical role, right? It's not like a goofy.
Yeah, like that's something that caught my attention initially when I even saw the trailer.
Right.
I was like, yeah, this is not your typical Adam Sandler movie where he's being goofy and stupid and like a usual comedy role like on Click or
like all those Netflix.
Yeah, Click or what's the other ones? Grown-ups.
Grown-ups. Jack and Jill, that bullshit.
Like, he stays completely away from that role that he usually does.
Yeah, exactly. This is like a very like... tense movie, like at the whole movie has you like the edge of your seat, like, you know, has like making you nervous, or at least me, like I was like fucking anxious for the guy. Like,
so tell us a little bit about the movie. Like, it was like kind of like a summary. What's the movie about?
So basically, Adam Sandler is a jeweler in New York City, who has a lot of things going wrong for him at the time. He has some debts, like crazy debts. He has collectors right after him. Like, the movie starts with collectors after him, right? They're trying to collect from him. We don't know. It doesn't mention if they're from gambling or whatever it is, but he's another thing that he gambles a lot, right? Like crazy gambling. Like, we're talking about like,
yeah, exactly, like thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars. Right, right. Like, even in the movie, like he just gets money that he should have used to pay some of his debt,
the collectors.
And then he puts it right back into another.
Goes straight to the bet. Book. He's that's like, I was like, dude, what are you doing, man? But he has that, you know, he has a failing marriage, you know, he has a family,
he's still married, he has 3 kids.
They're like on the brink of like divorcing,
right? Yeah,
we're telling the kids, right?
Yeah, they're like, you can tell they're just waiting for the kids to like maybe be a little bit older so they can maybe understand a little bit more.
So he has that, and then he has obviously his. Like his side chick, if you want to say.
His side chick that for the most part stays that he has a separate apartment.
Right, and that's where he keeps her and stuff like that. But it's basically about that, you know, how he gambles a lot and like things go wrong for him. Like pretty much the entire movie.
He gambles more than he should.
Right. Oh, like, we also have to mention that the movie takes place in 2012. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the movie starts, it tells you, you know, 2012.
Which is why Kevin Garnett, obviously, because he retired already, but this movie takes place in 2012, and that's when he was playing. And what was something that surprised you, dude? Or...
Kevin Garnett being so good.
Like, Kevin Garnett's a good actor. Like, who the fuck knew, right?
Like, yeah. Like, I wouldn't... After Uncut Gems, I wouldn't be surprised if I see him, like, in smaller roles in other movies. Like, so maybe something similar to Uncut Gems.
And he had a big role in the movie.
Yeah,
it was not just, like... He even had a bigger role than his wife, Idina Menzel, and shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
And, like I was telling you earlier, even, like, for an athlete, like, even though he's playing himself, like, you know how athletes, they do commercials or whatever, and, like, you can tell they're not so good.
Small roles here and there in other movies.
Yeah, and you can tell they're not so good. This guy was pretty good, like, even actually playing himself, but he was, like, not camera shy, you know. He kind of went with it. It was
for sure. Like, I was just going to say also, like, he was for sure natural. Like,
natural.
Like, he wasn't afraid of the camera. Like, he just went with his role.
Right, right.
So, I like that. Kevin Garnett. So, basically, in the movie, Garnett is... let's talk about a little bit about...
let's talk about the gym, right?
Yeah,
it's like the main point.
So, there's this...
the movie... Let's just say how the movie starts, like these... Like...
In Ethiopia?
There's miners, right? In Ethiopia, who are mining this gem, right? It's called an opal, I believe.
Yeah.
And... yeah, I mean, it's so, I guess, so valuable.
So, according to Howard, which is Adam Sandler's character.
Right, Howard, like, Ratner.
Like,
Jewish,
each carat, like, was worth, like, between $1,000 and $3,000
per carat.
And this thing had, like, 600 carats?
600 carats.
So, like, according to his appraisal, like, it would be, like, maybe just over $1 million.
Right. So, yeah, so it starts him. He bought this jewel, right? This gem. And so he opens it, right? And he's in the shop with... And that's when Kevin Garnett is in the shop, right? In his jewelry shop.
Yeah, and then pretty much throughout the movie, Kevin Garnett is a little bit obsessed with this... With this gem that he eventually buys from Howard. And that's pretty much, you know, KG's role. And then we got the... Julia Fox also, who's also part of the main cast, which is pretty much, like you said, Howard's side chick.
Yeah.
He has her there at the apartment, and she also works for him.
She worked at the store,
at the jewelry store. So,
and this takes place, like, in the Diamond District, which is a real place, obviously, in New York, which is the street where all the diamond or jewelry shops are there.
Yeah, yeah.
But I guess Kevin Garnett, he looks into the opal and he sees something, right?
He sees something, like...
He gets connected to it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, for example, in the movie, Howard lets him borrow the...
Well, we have to mention a little bit that also this is taking place during the NBA...
During the playoffs.
NBA playoffs, right? So this is their, like, important game five or, you know...
Yeah, yeah, I think it was
the Eastern Conference.
Exactly. Right? So then Kevin borrows the gem from Howard in exchange for one of his championship rings, which... Like, it brings you back to our point. That fucking championship rings, he gets and pawns it for
him. But it was like, it was just as collateral. It wasn't
collateral.
Like, and he goes and pawns it.
He pawns it, but gets more money, gets into another bet.
But to make a bet on Kevin Garnett, right?
Yeah, on Kevin Garnett. So then, like, KG gets obsessed with it. Like, he thinks that the gem makes him play better.
Yeah. Which it did, right? In the movie.
In the movie, it did. That's why he eventually ends up buying it. Because when he doesn't, there's a game where he doesn't have the gem and he plays bad. The Celtics even lose the game.
Yeah, yeah.
But what's one thing that, for example, what's something that you liked about the movie a lot?
Something I like? I would say the pacing of the movie. I've already mentioned it, but the pacing is just like, it doesn't let you breathe. It's just fucking, it's giving him blows and blows to Adam Sandler. Like, it feels like it feels nervous for yourself.
Yeah. Me. And you just keep thinking, like, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you, seems like he's going from, like,
can't catch a break.
He's digging his hole deeper and deeper with every decision he makes.
Yeah.
He's like he fucks up more.
Yeah. And then also, like, when he's hitting these bets, you know, making these crazy ass bets. And these are parlays also.
Yeah, yeah.
For those who don't know, the parlays are if you make a bet, like, three ways, you have to be hit. Like a game winner and rebounds and points. So it has to hit those three ways for it to hit the whole thing, and you win bigger than you would normally. So he's been like 6 parlay ways, you know.
Yeah, which is like a lot of money.
It's insane, right?
And one of the things, for example, that I like about the movie, and you were telling me last time we had talked before I rewatched it, was the score. Like the score, the score is pretty good because
the music, right? The soundtrack.
The soundtrack, it keeps you like in the edge of your seat all the time. But it also has like this mysterious trippy vibe.
It's very like mystic.
Right? Yeah, like exactly. Yeah, like very very mystic.
You like know, even like, when it begins and. Like it zooms
into the gem,
and it just takes you like on a visual like trip, right? And
yeah.
And I like that too. It transition, like he goes into it, and then transition into him and the doctor
again, getting the colonoscopy.
Right, that's crazy. That's fucking awesome. That right, and the music is very like very Blade Runner-esque, like all like the synths and
yeah.
It's very like it's perfect for the movie, you know.
The movie also, we get a mention also of there's an appearance by The Weeknd also.
Oh yeah, The Weeknd,
which is kind of cool. Now that you mentioned that, like we were mentioned that the movie takes place in 2012, so like The Weeknd comes out like in a small gig, like he was barely, wasn't as big as he is obviously right now.
I think they mentioned like, oh look, this is The Weeknd.
You think he's gonna make it?
He's like, he's Canadian, but he's still pretty cool. Like,
he's Canadian, but I think he's gonna make
like,
it.
Is there like bashing on Canadians?
Always do that in every fucking
movie. With that, you know, he had a small, I thought he was gonna have a bigger role, but he had a small role, you know, just playing himself again. But
yeah, he only had a couple
good
minutes.
But what do you think of all these actors that just not like Julia Fox, like we mentioned, it was her first time acting.
So Julia Fox, like, she's not really an actress, like you were mentioning in that in an interview that.
Yeah, I was watching an interview. These directors, they're brothers, the directors, and they found her through like Instagram, like an Instagram model or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and they just reached out to her and.
Yeah, because I was looking her up, to see like okay maybe like.
Doing research.
Yeah, doing, you know.
Just
doing
my research, right?
Exactly. You know, I want to see where else she's come out.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Stuff like that.
I don't blame you, dude, of course.
That's it, you know?
Yeah, sure.
For any particular person that may be hearing this.
Watch out, you just got engaged.
So then, yeah, so I look her up and, like, she's got nothing else, like, no other movies or anything like that. So I was surprised, like, where did this chick come from, you know?
Yeah, first-time actors. And also, one of the guys on there as well.
So like, there's this guy Arnold who Howard owes a lot of money to him,
right?
But he has his
muscle, his right hand man, right?
His right hand man,
and that guy who's also had a really good acting performance. He's also a first time actor, dude. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, because that's one of the guys that they go chasing him throughout the city, and
he's the one that's pretty much after his ass.
Who's always watching him. They even show up to like their daughter's play at school, and they're in the audience because they're always watching him.
Yeah, yeah, following his every move.
Yeah, and then they report Howard's every move to Arnold, which is the guy who they're family too, right?
Yeah, they're, how would I explain? They're like,
so then
they're like brother-in-laws.
No, okay, so
something like that, right?
His father-in-law, one of their daughters is married to Arnold. One of their other daughters
so
is married
like
to Arnold.
The same, but it can...
Like, they see each other in family dinner sometimes.
Yeah, which is kind of awkward, like, it's weird. Like, but they don't communicate or nothing like in the family dinners. Or
yeah.
Because they're Jewish, right? So they have all these, like, Passover and... these traditions that they haven't, but they never.
He even tells them, like, because he's always chasing them around with other people, with the people he's with his crew, and he even tells me, like, you know, you're not so tough, like, without your friends, aren't you? Like, little bitch ass, and they run into him, like, in the restroom.
Yeah.
Like, you're not so tough now, bitch.
It's because I don't want to get into so much the plot of the movie, because I wanted, like, the. If people haven't seen it, I want them to experience it for themselves, right?
Yeah, yeah,
but
sure.
It's
also an unexpected ending, which I think we shouldn't mention that much, or should we?
I mean, for the people who have already seen it, the ending is unexpected, right?
So the ending starts where, like we mentioned, eventually Kevin Garnett buys the stone from Howard for like $175,000, right?
Yeah, but let's mention first that the he was going to auction the stone in like in a famous auctioneer, Adley's or something.
Uh-huh.
And it was supposedly valued at $1 million, right? At the beginning, or was supposed
to. According to Howard's appraisal, which like he fucked up because he didn't get his own appraisal.
Right, he had the auction
appraise it for him.
For him. So then they changed it. Now this thing is worth 200,000. So that's already like one thing that's already like going wrong for him.
Yeah. Out of everything that that it is already going wrong for him.
Yeah, right. And well, that's happening, right? And then what were you saying earlier?
So then the Kevin Garnett loses the auction because he has Howard's father-in-law. Like, he plays a bluff with his father-in-law.
He's like jacking up the price.
Jacking up the price because he wants Kevin Garnett to take it for a higher bid.
Right.
But then Kevin Garnett just doesn't buy it, and then his father-in-law ends up buying it for him, and so they're stuck in the same place where they were at
with the beginning. Stone, right?
With the stone. So then eventually KG's agent calls Howard and, you know, telling him, you know, we're so interested in the stone. Kevin Garnett wants it. So they come to his jewelry and buy it for him for $175,000.
And meanwhile, this is all happening. The collectors are still, like, on this guy's ass about the money. You know?
They're at the store.
Yeah.
So then Kevin Garnett leaves $175,000 in cash.
Which is funny because in the beginning of the movie, Kevin Garnett says, hey, I give you $175 for the stone right now. And they could have avoided all of this.
All that bullshit. Like, right at the beginning of the movie when he first shows him the stone.
Yeah, he's like, I'll give you $175. Nah, man, this is worth like $1 million in auction, right? Or what was supposed to be. And they're like, no. So they skipped all. They did all of this for nothing. All these fucking tradings and gambling or pawning here and there with the rings and shit. But then.
So then the collectors are there with him. But before they go, Kevin Garnett leaves. Mm-hmm. He has the cash. Before they go into his private office, he calls Julia to go to the. Well, he lives like in.
Well, it's like a.
Like in a higher building, like in his jewelry is up there, like in a higher building.
Yeah, it's like a tenant's office, like once across, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So then he calls Julia to go the building next door, and they meet each other through the outside on the window, where Howard gives her the money
that he just got from Garnett.
And then he gives her like, you know, a post-it with all the parlays.
The parlay of the bet, right?
That he's going to make.
And he sends her to the casino in Connecticut.
Yeah, which if he wins that bet, he's going to be making like, what, $1.2 million, something like that?
$1.2 million, yeah.
So then the collectors get there, like, where's the money? Like, it wasn't even 2 minutes. Like, it took him, like, 2 minutes for him to place all that money into a bigger bet.
Right.
So then everyone's there. The collectors are there. Howard eventually locks them. Because he has like a kind of like you have to punch in.
Yeah.
How do you explain that?
It's like It's like a door, like a door that has like a little room when you're exiting, so it won't avoid thieves. You know.
Yeah, yeah, and so he has a glass that's like
so you have to buzz him in, right?
Yeah, exactly.
One has to be closed in order to buzz the other one in, right?
Exactly.
But the buzzer's like broken the whole movie, right? It's like
doesn't even work.
Yeah. So that's
so they get stuck in between both of the doors, one for the jewelry and one for the exit, and that's where they get stuck.
Right.
And that's where like game 7
is going on,
and he's watching it, and he's telling them Arnold's there. Like, you know, I just made this bet. He even calls Julia and puts him on speaker. Like, read the whole ticket for me.
But at this point, he's like. Messing around with them, right? But that's not what he's doing. Like, he doesn't want to, but it's like what he's doing. Like, to them, that's what they see. Like, ah, oh, this guy's just fucking around with us. Like,
exactly.
Like, he has us like locked in here like animals, like pretty yeah, much, yeah. You know, sweating their asses off, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, because they start sweating, they look like shit, all of them.
Right. So these guys are getting angry, you know.
But then during this time, Julia, she already placed the money. Yeah, she had the casino.
These guys, he sent their like his people to the casino as well, like so.
And that's why, and I think that's why he locks them there, because he knows that they're gonna go after her. And actually, he also even calls his wife to get the kids out of the house and to take off until he leaves and he meets with them.
Right, right.
Because he already knows, he already fucked around with these people enough that that something's going to go bad for him or for his family.
Yeah, yeah. Unavoidable, right?
Exactly. But then, like, he ends up winning, like, the $1.2 million.
Yeah.
Or did you want
to... Yeah, no, yeah, he... yeah, and so he... We'll leave it to the people who haven't seen it, right? But, like, it's like a situation where you don't want to say, like, if he hit it or if he didn't hit the bat or, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll just leave it to people to watch, right? Because we don't want to ruin that. But what else do you think about the movie?
Another thing that I like, let me see. Well, all three of them. Well, okay, let me ask you this that I've been meaning to ask you, because from the beginning you told me that Adam Sandler did really good. You think he should have been nominated for something?
Like, yeah, for an Oscar, I think he should have been nominated for sure. I had already seen it, right? And I saw it again last night, like, to prep for today.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at it, just him, focusing on him more, and he's... Like, his crying scenes, his frustration scenes are really good. I mean, they're, like, he's displaying good emotion.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a scene when after the auction.
Right.
And he gets to his office, and then he starts crying because they kick his ass, they punch him, they throw him to, like, to the water that's, like, there. So he's all wet, like, he's bleeding to a fountain. So then he's all crying in frustration, and then Julie comes in and kind of, like, calms him down a little bit.
Yeah,
but that scene where he's crying.
Oh, yeah, where he's, like, crying, and then he gets a call from KG, right? So, but that, like, that's what I mean. Like, that, you know, another thing is that, like, I don't know if you noticed this, but, like, the whole movie, like, there's always, like, these little things. Like, which is causing tension in the movie. Not tension, but I don't know if it's, like, nervousness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's walking down the street, right? And he has, like, all these other people coming to him, right? Like, or just, like, people that he owes money to, like, they're coming up to him. Hey, you know, where's that?
And it's always a different person.
Yeah, yeah. They're, like, different people, right? It's like, oh, here's his Rolex, whatever. Just go set it up.
Which ends up being a fake fucking Rolex.
Yeah, and then he has this guy, you know, Demani, his... we had to mention him right now in a bit too. Devani has one of his associates, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, where's the jewel? Where's the gem? I'm like, no, I don't have it. It's in Philadelphia. So they drive all the way to Philadelphia, and then they don't let him into the locker room, and you know, all these things that just it makes you nervous. Like,
it makes you kind of anxious like, dude, seeing like all the shit that's going like down.
And then, like the fishes when the. He drums the liquid into
which is
the
money, right? That
yeah,
does that
like that? Like he's on the line with the doctor
from the colonoscopy,
and then he has the fishes like, hey, get the water glass, you know?
Because he throws him like kind of like it was like parade,
yeah,
like, and throws him into the fish tank, and then they're
like, oh, get this, no, this guy's in the other, this guy's banging on the door, and oh, this is that, and then you know,
there's a lot of stuff happening. Like that's what I was gonna say. Also,
that's what I like
that. For example, throughout the movie, it's kind of like a loud movie. There's always kind of like screaming.
Yeah, it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't let you breathe at all. It's like just fucking pounding, you know, the movie. So that's what I really like.
Yeah, so like there's very few scenes where it's everything is calm. Like everything is like action, like left and right in each scene. Like there's just a couple of scenes where you can take a breather and not feel anxious, because throughout either they're chasing him, either they're attacking him, either he's placing another bet on money that's not his.
Yeah.
So like throughout the movie, like it keeps you on the edge of your seat, and you're thinking like, what the fuck? Like what is going on? Why does he keep fucking up more? Like
yeah, you know what's crazy? Also like. I like how everything, like, in New York, like, where they shot the film, like, in the Diamond District, everything's, like, so real. Like, these people are, like, I feel like they're just them.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He didn't cast any actors to play, like, the jewelers or, you know, the pawn people.
Like, the pawn people that, like, he goes to.
Just, like, played, we got regular people to play themselves. And like, I was reading also Adam Sandler, he spent, like, 2 months working at the Diamond District just to fucking get in character.
Get the feel, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, get the feel. And that's crazy, right? I mean, the getting into the research for
that. Yeah, for sure. And I feel like that was good. Like, for example, that gave him that gave the movie the natural feel that you were there, like in the Diamond District, New York.
Like, you get all these like New York accents. Go on, you know, mob accents. You know, it gets you in there. You know, it's cool.
Yeah, that's actually a badass thing. I didn't think about it.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool that you feel like you're there.
Yeah, you think you're there. And well, let me ask you this, because I know when you first saw it, I saw it first, right, and I thought it was really good from the first watch. And then you saw it, and I asked you, and you said, "What did you say?" Which is obviously it's there's no wrong answers.
Yeah. Well, when I first saw it, I didn't like that much. I thought it was okay.
It was just an okay movie for you.
It was just an okay movie for me.
Understandable. Yeah.
But then I saw it again. It kind of grew in me a little bit more.
Yeah, because like last time we got a message on our Instagram, somebody told us, have you guys seen Uncut Gems? They were like, yeah, man, it was really good. And then they said, it's a very good movie, but it's a very uniquely... For a specific taste, like for some people might really like it, some people are not gonna.
Oh yeah, it's a movie that's either you're gonna love it or you're gonna hate it.
Yeah, or yeah, something like that, right? Because
something along those lines.
Yeah, like,
you know,
it's like it's because it's hard different to explain. Like, it's not like every other movie that's being made.
Because I wouldn't consider this a movie like about the mob.
Nah,
because it's not about
that. It's not like a crime thriller to me.
Yeah, it reminds me of, for example, that movie, The Gambler. You ever see The Gambler with Mark Wahlberg?
No, I haven't seen that one.
Well, it's kind of the same thing. Like, he's a professor, but he keeps making bets with the mobs.
Oh, okay.
And he keeps getting into more debt. Like, he doesn't give a shit.
So it's very similar.
Kind of similar to that movie.
Yeah, my sister saw this movie, and like I've told you before, she's seen it like 6 times. Already, and that's since they put it on Netflix.
Oh yeah.
She fucking loved the movie. You're like, and I saw it and I was like, oh, it's really good as well. I mean, but
I think she probably liked it more than you did, right?
Yeah, but, yeah, I thought it was really good, but she fucking loved it. She's like her favorite of 2019.
Yeah, for sure.
I freaking love the movie. I recommend it I recommend everybody to watch it, because this is not regular Adam Sandler. Like, forget about it being like a tacky, goofy ass movie.
Yeah, I feel like when you watch this movie, if you have the idea of Adam Sandler not being a good actor,
like, that's what's stopping you from watching the movie, just forget about that. It's a good actual movie, right?
Yeah, and I think after watching the movie, you're gonna see Adam Sandler in a different way. Like, you're gonna see him like, okay, this guy could be a serious actor. Yeah. He just chooses to do kind of shit movies sometimes.
Yeah, most of the time.
For the most part,
he has. I can say like four movies that he's really good in, and one of them that's better than this one. So he's a good actor, like since 2002, and so he just hasn't, like, even his Happy Gilmore, and like Happy Gilmore was not a bad movie. Like, it was a good movie, and he acted pretty good in it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, raging and shit. So he's a good actor. Just
funny people. He also funny good people, because like, he has cancer and Funny People, so he needs to act kind of serious, even though it's still considered a comedy. Like,
Judd Apatow, right?
Yeah.
Guy made Knocked Up. Yeah, he's acted pretty good in that movie as well.
But okay, well, something else that you want to say, or anything that we're missing about the movie before we wrap up the episode?
Nah, I mean, I really enjoyed it.
What do you rate it from 1 to 10?
1 to 10, without a decimal system, I would give it an 8.
8?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. What would you give it?
Probably give it a 7.
7?
Solid that's, 7.
That sounds like about right where we're at.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just a guy would probably give it a 10 for sure.
Oh, yeah. 11 is good. but I think this movie is worth the watch alone just for Julia Fox. But so that's just me.
For sure.
You don't have to comment, comment on that. But
I'm not going to say I'm going to plead the fifth on saying anything about that. But now it's on Netflix, guys.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
It was just recently added not too long ago, so it's probably one of the better films that Netflix has to offer right now.
Yeah, because Netflix has good movies. It's just hidden. They're not like in the...
They're hidden gems.
Like, no pun intended, right? But they're in there. Just look them in there, guys.
But that's pretty much our episode that we have
For our return to the season, as we're calling
the, it. The season two, calling it now. But honestly, it's good to be back. I kind of miss doing this.
Yeah, me too, man.
And I hope
everyone's staying safe.
Some people did miss us. Message does,
and you know.
But I mean, we're glad to be back, and we're hoping to at least do it. You know, have another run of a couple of weeks again.
Yeah,
and
hopefully things get better, like in, with the whole COVID-19.
And well, we hope everyone's staying safe. Yeah, and we look forward to hearing you guys after you listen to this episode.
Yeah, let us know what you think at our Instagram. It's Beers and Movies 9495. Our personal accounts are on there too, so let us know what you think of the movie if you saw it, and we'll be back next week
for sure. Bye. Stay safe, guys.